vacation schedule is posted. Class on Sunday, August the 7th. Class resumes Sunday, August the 21st. We will have class on August the 7th, and we'll have it on the 21st, but nothing in between. The annual baptism service sign-up sheet is posted. If you as a believer in Jesus Christ are so inclined and understand that after salvation, you are required to one time engage in the ritual of baptism, then you can sign up. We still haven't established an exact time, date, or place to be determined. Lord's table for August will be the 7th because of the vacation schedule. All right. All that information is posted, I believe, and you can see it on the bulletin board. As you probably know, we're going to New York, Long Island, celebrate the 10th anniversary of Seamus's ministry. Seamus Allen, the pastor teacher, he's got a great address, West Babylon, New York. So that's what we're going to be doing. So in case you are interested, a number of us from the church are going up there too, so we'll have a little get together up there. Doctrine of surpassing grace. I'm going to drive the new Cadillac. Now, if the Illuminati kill me, they hack that car and they take the brakes and jam that thing all the way to the floor. Nice knowing you. They're probably listening to everything we say in there. I say, like, go to hell, Illuminati. My guardian angel and God and all the rest is greater and all that, so I don't worry about it. We joke about those things, but think about it. Think about it. I get a diagnostic test every month, and this, we know what your car is, and what we're running around, and punch a button and say, I want to go to so-and-so address. Okay, sir. The phone rings, you know, talk to somebody, and they said, put the map on there. There's a few things that are irritating. If you try to change lanes and you don't put your blinker on, it goes like this. It's like a horsey woman. Damn you, look over there. So you have to have the blinker engaged to change lanes. It's got interactive cruise control. Set it. And it nags you if you go over the speed limit. Well, it's not a bad nag, and it's not prolonged. If it's 70 and you're going 72, beep, beep. It has interactive cruise control. So you got it set at 70 and you're in this lane. And you come up behind a car and it tells you how far the car is heading and it slows down without your free will involved. If you change over to the next lane where there isn't a car in front of you, the cruise control resumes. It's pretty cool stuff to get yourself in trouble with, but anyway, I don't think it's testing God too much. We'll see. But they know where you're at. Anyway, knock yourself out. The doctrine of surpassing grace. Definition and preliminary considerations. This is something, again, you will not hear in a million years. Exhaustively or even superficially probably in a local church. It's commonplace for members of Maranatha Church, though, and others where the truth is taught, to talk about divine good production and building up your SG3 account. Every believer has one opened at salvation, at least. Opened at salvation. And that account God keeps track of in some way, and I'll point that out to you. I'm not making this up. And God keeps track. See, that's why he has to be omniscient. How does he know if I'm in fellowship or not? How does he know if I'm up here sitting up here teaching and I'm actually in fellowship? And I didn't look over at you and get out of fellowship. Or have some weird mental attitude sin that threw me out of fellowship. So that what I'm doing is credited as divine good versus human good. How do I... And that is what we are informed with regard to. People may not like this, but, you know, in life, where there is a high degree of professionalism and success and the right things, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way. And there are, quote, rules. Only at Outback is there no rules. Well, of course there's rules. If there weren't any, nobody'd go there. See? You know, it's that rebellious streak that's in all of us. It's called the antinomian grid. I can't do that. Well, I'll show you. Don't walk on the grass. That just fired up my STA. I'm going to walk on your grass. Well, you know, so there's the antinomian grid that we all possess. And it expresses itself different in each of us. See? So we have to get ourselves in fellowship in order to produce divine good. And I'm going to show you, not all the ways, but a lot of ways in which on a daily basis, on your most mundane day, or your most awful day, or whatever, that you can produce divine good. You can add to your account in heaven. Every day. In every way. I can't hardly name something you can't be doing and not get SG3. Now, I don't know if you get SG3 for eating a banana split. I don't know that. Because it's pleasurable and you're doing something you enjoy. But anyway, all things we're supposed to do is unto the Lord. Aren't we taught that? Everything you do, do is unto the Lord. Okay? Now, of course, we're not going to. We're going to have a patchy record. But the great thing about God is he's going to grade us all on the curve. Because if he didn't, we'd be sunk. Even the best of us. So he's going to take what we do as unto him, and he is going to bring it back to us in a tangible reward. Beyond that, I can't tell you very much. I can tell you about things down here. I can tell you about things that trip my trigger in the realm of things, of experiences and so forth. But I can't tell you about SG3 beyond a certain point. There's a couple concrete ones I can give you, like being a ruler in the millennium, being in a high position. Did you ever think about that? Someday, I could be running a country. I could be running a major city. What are you actually going to be doing? Well, that'll all be told to you. Christ is the head of it all, and you're going to be within his organization. And you're going to flit around the planet and take care of business. And it isn't going to be onerous. Well, I got to go to work today and face those idiots. It's not going to be that way at all. You're going to actually enjoy what you do. And you're going to bring down some serious stuff when some people are out of line. And other things in regard to a vast administration of a global planet under the rule of Jesus Christ. And your position within that is directly related to if you're crown worthy at the end, which we'll get into, if you're crown worthy, then that automatically means you're going to get a high position in the millennium. And you're going to like it. I can think of things I'd like to do, but I'm just superficial and stupid. You know, I may be sophisticated in some ways, but I can't imagine what God's going to have. So it's going to match you perfectly. And you're going to enjoy it. And you're going to serve God faithfully every day because you're going to be in a resurrection body. But you're going to be serving him. And that's a great thing, you know, to look at yourself on a daily basis and try to look at yourself, whatever you're doing, work, play, everything in between, you are God's servant. And it is a privilege to serve the Lord. It is a great privilege to view yourself in that service capacity. It may not be glamorous. It doesn't have to be glamorous. And in most cases, it isn't going to be glamorous. But it's there. So, surpassing grace, or as we call it, SG3, three for phase three, reserved for the afterlife or the kingdom of God, was two is what we're in now. We're believers, so we passed one. Now we're under the temporal side of things. Phase two refers to special blessings and rewards for believers in eternity. Another way of putting that, which are above and beyond the normal and universal blessings for believers in phase three. All believers are going to get the same thing. The least of us, the worst of us, that just because we're a believer, we're going to get a resurrection body. We're going to go to the party. Okay? We have an invitation, a permanent invitation. We are going to be involved. So think about people you've known that weren't positive, that have passed on, for instance, or that are alive. And you know that they're going to get a resurrection body by, if they passed on. They're totally cool up there. It's great. They don't carry their ignorance with them. That's all put aside. They don't carry their STA with them. That's all put aside. So they're doing a whole lot better than we are. And just experientially in the realm that they're in. And the fellowship's perfect, and all that they see and experience is mind-blowing. But it's only just begun. And some of these folks have been waiting up there a long time for a resurrection body. They want it. They desire it. There's something missing. Other than that, it's just great. So they have to wait. And it's not a painful wait. It's just they just have to wait. And they're completely acclimated, except, you know, we want the body. We want our bodies back. And our bodies are in the elements now. But we want our bodies back. They're going to get them back. In a condition that we can only sit around and contemplate, speculate the dynamics of it. We have clues. But we're dealing with the reward package that is external to that. The nomenclature for SG3 Ephesians, that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now that's the totality of the experience. If you were with me in Revelation, you know that after the 1,000 years are over, and after the Gog and Magog event, and when we step into the new earth and the new creation, if you were with me, you know that there's a way where there's no sun. There's no usual movement of things to monitor time. We're going to mark time in eternity. Think about it. We're going to mark time and we're going to mark it by the fruit on those trees. Because every 30 days, those trees that line the river will put on another set of fruit. And so there will be a remnant, a vestige of the old 12-month cycle brought over, and that's how we'll mark time. for the individual, obviously God has perfectly, he can tell you right where you're at and everything, but we'll mark time. Just like we have ways of marking time and how many years it's been and since whatever, and that's, we rely on that for so much that we teach. But we're going to mark time. And these are these very special trees. You know, God had special trees in the garden. He's got special trees for the eternal state. You're going to like these trees. They bear 12 kinds of fruit. Not simultaneously like a, you know, I thought that at one time. I ditched that idea. That there's 12 months in a year and this is peach month or something. I don't know. Okay. And so those trees, the trees of life, plural, rather than the singular tree of life in the Garden of Eden, serves another purpose too. But the primary thing is, well, they'll mark time. And what I was saying was, think about living. You can't. We're 30 million years into this, and we haven't even started. We don't think like that on any level down here. Everything is conditioned on, well, I'm 40 now. I'm going downhill. And marking time and thinking about that stuff. We won't have that pressure. There'll be a lot of sayings and expressions that'll die. Then you want to say in phase three to one another. So what will he say? Well, that's to be determined. You having a good day? We don't have to hear that. People do as a matter of course, and we always say yes, even if we're not. The normal blessings of heaven include a resurrection body like Christ, and of course, that is where we start. And so get the vocabulary down and see where we'll be under ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification involves body, soul, and human spirit all together in a new package. The resurrection body. And John says what I just said, in effect. Beloved, now we are children of God. Right now we're children of God. We're not of the religious faith that says you got to die to find out if you're one. Or they got to vote you into sainthood. Or a bunch of people have to pray and light a bunch of candles and maybe you'll get there. See, that knocks this all in the head, doesn't it? Absolutely knocks it in the head. We are now children of God. If we are children of God, based on that theme, and God is our Father, and Jesus Christ is our big brother, so to speak, but a human like us, in that he's as the human side, then, boy, the sky is the limit here. We talk about prosperity and blessing. When the old order is behind us, and we step into that realm. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. I guess so. We can sit around and speculate. That's about all we can do about the whole dynamic of the resurrection. We have clues. You know, it's sort of like something, you just get a taste of something, but you don't get the full impact of it. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. We're not going to be deity. We're going to be like him in his humanity. Because only God is God. No one can replace him and can't add new gods. And we aren't little gods. Because we'll see him just as he is. Face to face. And we'll be in a resurrection body like his. There's your documentation. I provide you with documentation. So you can know, have the verse for yourself. And not just have to say, well, Jack says. Jack does say it. It happened to be our pastor. There's no shame in that. Our pastor taught us that, boom, and here's a verse. We'll have a body just like his. Same dynamic, same makeup. If you examined it, it'd have all the same particulars like the human body. We're all alike, regardless of the differences within our, you know, deal. We're all alike. Genetically, we're all made up the same way, regardless of race, gender, on all those variables. A resurrection body like Christ. We won't have a sin nature. That'll be very refreshing. A lot of people wouldn't want to give theirs up, but but that's gonna happen. And all the misery and everything that's in the world is laid at the feet of people who have a sin nature. And that's why they're so easily manipulated by Satan. He knows it. He plays that thing like a fiddle. He knows how to do all this stuff. So we all have a sin nature. The difference is we're trying to deal with it. We're fighting it. We have some days that are good and some aren't so good. In our mind, in our opinion. But you know what? God knows this. I remind him of it too. I got a sin nature. Okay? I mean, I have to deal with this sin nature. And it isn't like something that just, you know, I can take a couple of verses and it'll go away. It's there. But I'm positive. So thank you for a rebound. Thank you that, I can, if I choose to, I can overrule it. If I choose not to, then I get out of fellowship. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory. That's all the believers of the current dispensation. And it is going to be a glorious group of people. You won't find one dud in the group. They're all going to be glorious. I'm talking about it just pure external glory. After all, in the metaphor, the analogy, she's the bride of Christ. You think she's going to be some scary looking thing? Or do you think she's going to be, a self-absorbed female, impressed with her looks, like people are? No. You're going to look great, and you're not going to ever have any pride about it. And you're not going to resent anyone else looking great. The only difference is you'll see is, that person's packing more SG3. And how that's manifest, I don't know. In all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle, the perfect bride. She doesn't have, birth spot. She doesn't have little wrinkles around her mouth. She's perfect. I mean, she's like, here's this perfect female at the prime of her life, and there isn't a blemish on her. There isn't anything. That means no sin. Basically, it's dealing with the sin nature. When the resurrection occurs, the sin nature's eradicated in the individual. Eradicated. Well, that'd change us, wouldn't it? Because it's always right around that proverbial corner, even when you're in fellowship. Or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. You know, some people take this to be that God's going to purge the church on earth and she's going to be holy. This is phase three. They got the wrong deal here. They're confusing experiential sanctification with ultimate sanctification and thinking we're all going to somehow go through. I've heard some of this stuff, but I won't bore you with it. The total absence of pain, crying, sorrow, tears, death, all those things that are not all bad. I mean, in the sense that, there's sanctified sorrow, there's sanctified things, and there's pain that as noted. We don't talk ever in terms of death. Of anything dying. Imagine that. Some synonyms or things that relate to SG3. 1 Corinthians 3:2. We have to have something that's a frame of reference for wealth to understand eternal wealth. And he uses this big metaphor of a building being built. A building being built first has a solid foundation. That foundation is Christ. And each man must be careful how he builds on it, verse 10, requiring knowledge of what the directive will of God is in terms of divine good production and what's human good. And secondly, I never heard of human good before. I mean, the brief time I was in that, I never heard anything about human good that I can recall. So it must not have been taught clearly, and of course it wasn't. Gold, silver, now if any man builds on the foundation, the foundation is Christ, verse 11, with gold, silver, precious stones. Now we all know this isn't to be taken literally. It is having our works, our divine good production down here, parlayed into something that is the equivalent. Gold being valuable, more valuable than silver, but silver is valuable. And precious stones, gems. I know they run the gamut. Get you a Colombian emerald. Those are pricey. Or a nice blue tanzanite stone. Or of course diamond. Diamonds are way overpriced, by the way. That's another story. Because they're quite common. Wood, hay, and straw. Now, anybody can see there's two groups here. And if you, and the wood, hay, and straw, while it has its place in the human realm, it is not, it is used here as a negative. Each man's work will be evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Our God is a consuming fire. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. So there is this elaborate ceremony. For all of my works, all of your works, from the time you became a Christian till you're out of here, all of it, it's not dealing with your sins. Sins isn't the primary issue here. It's your works. You worked hard all day. See? Or raising those little kids, or whatever you're doing. You're working, right? You're doing something. To the extent that you're in fellowship, you got a reward for that. You did that chore. That's rewardable. To the extent that you're in fellowship. So we have a frame of reference for mineral wealth. It is our hope. It's called treasure. And this one is important in that, we'll kill to Matthew 6, because this has to become, needs to become real to you. Because physical things are real to us. We see them, we observe them. We lust after them. We acquire them. We lose them. We lose interest in them. Something else catches our fancy. That's the material realm. What was really, you know, terrific in the past is now. But it was the thing then. Matthew 6:19. This has to be taken with an understanding. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. This is for all the people. That's all they're into, is storing up treasures on earth, collecting, gaining massive amounts of funds, collections, real estate, on and on. He isn't telling us to be ascetics and not have anything, because there's other scriptures that contradict that. But this is to the exclusion of the other, where moth and rust destroy. You have to point out, these things are all perishable and come under attack. Moth attacks cloth. Nice garments, if they're not protected with cedar or whatever people do, there's certain ones of them, they're subject to this little insect that will burrow in there and lay its eggs and, boom, dig a hole in your nice garment. And rust, destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. Well, we got all kinds of thieves today. All kinds of people out there. They're trying to steal, take what isn't theirs. For where your treasure is, this is the axiomatic statement. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart's where your treasure is. If your treasure is confined to the things of this earth, that's where your heart is. If you're building up your SG3 account, and this, of course, this is to be determined, because we can't just look at someone and judge them. I mean, as a rule of thumb. Because I know there's many of you that I've known for years. You've made sacrifices to be here and to stay here. You've made sacrifices. Good for you. You didn't walk away when a better opportunity for a job or something, or a marriage collapsed, or whatever it was. You didn't blow out of here. Some have. They didn't buckle down and get in prayer and work their way through the test. Congratulations. To date, you didn't let that bury you spiritually with your SDA. You endured. You took up your cross each day, and it wasn't easy sometimes, but you did it. Reward. Jesus gives us guidelines. There are people who I call spiritual show-offs. They want to show off how righteous they are. And they want others to know how righteous they are. So they have ways of doing that. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. A pharisaical thing. To be noticed by them. Oh, look at that. Look at that self-sacrificing person. Oh, isn't that great? Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Practice your righteousness. But don't practice it for approbation. Look what I've done. And some way of trying to generate that. That's an approbation trend of the STA. But the point I made of the verse was, your reward is in heaven. That's where it's at. Where's all your money? Oh, it's in a this or this or this account. It's in this investment. It's in this. That all our reward for believers is in heaven. So every minute, all the time, shajing, you can just keep pouring into that account. Today, tomorrow, and everything you do. But you got to just be willing. You got to keep that rebound in front of you. To ensure that, oh, I started this project halfway through cleaning the house. Am I in fellowship? Okay, get in fellowship. Knock that over. Oh, I got out of fellowship. Okay, back in fellowship. Okay, let's continue forward with this. That's what we're supposed to do. To ensure that our day of cleaning house has some reward connected with it, besides a clean house. It's called inheritance. Children typically inherit from their parents. God is our parent. Christ died to open up for us a great inheritance. Eternal life is a part of that inheritance. Excuse me, I got off track here. 1 Peter 1:4. Wrong one. And the subject is believers, to obtain inheritance which is imperishable. Oh, there's your contrast with the things of this world which are subject to perishing and undefiled. They can't be corrupted. STA defiles things. People get things and they act crazy and they do wrong things. So it's undefiled and will not fade away. You lose interest in it. I'm sure there's people that have got things that other people just salivate all over the place, but they've lost interest in them. You know, you got 100 classic cars. Which one are you going to drive today? Sitting in a big garage. And all your friends can come over and ooh and ah because you got a 19 whatever. Perfect condition, all that. Yeah, they're beautiful. But they're going to perish. What if you have the equivalent in heaven? What if you have something in heaven that's the equivalent to that to all that, that would stir up a person who has a car fetish? See? That's what it is. I am convinced that God's going to make fools out of so many people. I don't want to be a big one myself. Thank you. I want to have SG3 to show for it. Not that this was more important than, you know, SG3. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Must be already up there. You know, I don't know how all that works. That's not that important. Of course, we'll have more time to develop this one later. The ultimate prize, the ultimate reward, is to receive, like at the Olympic Games, the gold medal, right? Okay. Or whatever reward's being handed out for whatever people are doing. The ultimate award, and you know how excited they are. They put all that work and effort into it, and that was the big day, and they did everything right, and they beat out the next best person that got the silver, and they get the gold. Well, that's the gold. It's called, we call it typically the crown. I want to get my crown. The technical Greek for it is Stephanos, which gets the name Stephen. Stephanos means wreath. Doesn't sound like much, does it? It was a big deal in the Roman world. They had wreaths for all kinds of things, but the only one that's mentioned in the New Testament is for athletic competition. They don't mention the military wreaths and the civic wreath and all the kind of different things the Romans, for instance, and others handed out in a big ceremony. Generals got wreaths for winning battles. And their soldiers went out and just took some grass off the ground, you know, like Bermuda or something. Some kind of grass, wove it all together in this dirty little grass wreath, and they'd stick it on their head. And that was a real big deal. And you went to Rome and you put it in a box because you won the battle of so-and-so. And it was just it just brought distinction to the individual. This draws a distinction to the individual. It is called in these verses, which I will look up when we meet, well, when we get to it here coming up. The simple word glory. The glory of a person. The glory of a movie star. The glory of a whoever. So glory. And that's a really good verse that we will look up next time. You can read it if you want, but anyway. All right, I'll see you Tuesday where it counts. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.